This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Mueller might subpoena the press. Obstruction is part of the focus. That's the rumor anyway. In the meantime, we're hearing Nobel Peace Prize before the meeting yet with Kim Jong-un, but there are those possibilities that are starting to fly around. And then we continue our discussion about polluted air. I got a lot of email from many of you about Los Angeles and its air quality. Is it all hot air, or what is it all about when it comes to this Russian investigation? Mueller raising the possibility of a presidential subpoena in a meeting with Trump's legal team. Pretty much the headline that screamed across America today. And here we are on ATN talking about it. It was a pretty tense meeting in March with the special counsel and the president's lawyers, and they insisted, he has no obligation to talk with the feds that are looking into the Russian interference in that 2016 presidential campaign. But Robert Mueller responded that he had another option if Trump declined. He said he could use a subpoena for the prez to appear before a grand jury. Mueller's warning, the first time he's known to have mentioned a possible subpoena to Trump's legal team, spurred a sharp comeback from John Dowd, who was then the president's lead lawyer. He said, this isn't some game. You are screwing with the work of the president of the United States. So to subpoena or not to subpoena, what's going to happen here? They could argue that he can't be forced to testify under subpoena unless his testimony is necessary to indict somebody else, if he's not being incriminated in any of this. So there are some arguments that could be made by his attorneys. I don't have any idea where this goes. The president has repeatedly said that the investigation is a witch hunt. It's a witch hunt. It's a witch hunt. So does the witch hunt end with the president somehow standing on the blocks and having to answer questions, or not? Yeah. All right, so let's move to a couple of other things, because we're going to zig and zag and hit some fast ones at the top before we roll into We Can Count. So, subpoena, the end of this investigation, Rudy Giuliani being brought in, what's the recommendation? We'll see where all of that goes. In the meantime, there is the story of Kim Jong-un. I mean, be honest. Did you ever really think that of all the presidents, President Trump was going to meet with him, that he could be the ultimate peacemaker? It could be. And Kim Jong-un would be also part of that. And certainly he's been making these overtures toward sort of peace and pledging to shut down a nuclear test site, allowing journalists and other people to watch it gets dismantled. What? What did you do with my Kim Jong-un? Somebody did something to him. I have no idea. Apparently the change was triggered by a couple of things, including pressure from economic sanctions. That was big. Fear of a U.S. strike. And, of course, one of the biggest, his confidence that his nuclear program is already a credible threat. If that's the case, then he doesn't care about having any more warheads. I mean, it's really kind of unclear. Is he serious about dismantling his nuclear program? What do you think? He definitely has seized the diplomatic initiative, that's for sure. And having the choice of the DMZ, that could be a concession to him, because it would mean that our president travels to a location near the North Korean leader. What are we going to be talking about after this meeting? That's what I want to know. What are we going to be talking about? But you know what? We could be talking about a Nobel Peace Prize, which is so wild. We really could be. We'll see. We'll just kind of put a what they call in poker, a put on that, and just wait and see what happens there. All right, there's no waiting anymore with Tom Brokaw as we continue the Pandora's box that Harvey Weinstein opened in October. Another one bites the dust, perhaps. Tom Brokaw has been accused of making unwanted advances by a third woman. So it's not just one, it's not just two. Now it is number three. He is stressing out. Boy, they got a picture of him walking down the streets. He did not look like my Tom Brokaw that I remember watching as a kid. But this third woman, Mary Reinholz, claims that Brokaw, who was married at the time, attempted to kiss her inside her rented L.A. area home after helping her with the story she was working on. And she said, we talked, and then abruptly he was embracing me and giving me a French kiss. She said she pulled away, reminding him that he was married and a tryst was out of the question. And he said, yes, it would be unfair to Meredith, meaning his wife. Reinholz said she and Brokaw, now 78, got together at her home after he managed to obtain information from the L.A. Police Department that she had been unable to get herself. She didn't say which year this allegedly occurred, but wow. She claims the encounter with Brokaw, who was anchoring for KNBC in Los Angeles at the time, that whole thing shook her up, left her uncomfortable, and saying that she wasn't interested in Brokaw as a sex partner. Wow. And there are other claims against Tom Brokaw. So what's happened since then? He's issued a denial to the Washington Post. He then penned a letter slamming the first woman to come forward, Linda Vester. And he said, I'm not a perfect person. I've made mistakes personally and professionally. But as I write this at dawn on the morning after a drive-by shooting, the Washington Post and Variety, I'm stunned by the free ride given a woman with a grudge against NBC News. No distinctive credentials or issue passions while at Fox. And then there was another woman who alleged something happened anonymously, claiming that Brokaw placed her hands under his jacket onto his chest and asked her to come to his office later that night. Oh, my gosh. So, you know, he's kind of been around on some of these big stories. What happens with Brokaw is he's just going to wait and see where it all ends up. You know, this is just another... It's another bombshell, and it's another, what's this defense going to look like? What do you do here? I mean, think about it. You had Senator Al Franken. You know, the list is long of people in the media, people in politics, people in entertainment, and that spurred the Me Too movement, and it's just exploded. And he's just another high-profile man that falls under that heading. And what's proven or not proven, I guess, remains to be seen, because he's maintaining his innocence. Let's put it that way. I always say it's about the numbers, and we certainly can counter this. I hope so. We will next here on America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free Reputation patient analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at HBExtract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. HBExtract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-261-9818 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-261-9818. Again, 800-261-9818.
If you know Kate Delaney, then you know that her lovable golden retriever, Mahalo, makes her world go around. So when Kate started looking for a high-quality dog food for him, she settled on Life's Abundance, the all-stage grain-free food. It's rated 5 stars by Dog Food Advisor, and that's a win. In fact, Kate loved the food so much that she's now repping the food at kateskibble.com. It's full of high-quality protein and nutrients, omega-3s and more. Kateskibble.com is just what Mahalo needs to be happy and healthy. Grab a bag at kateskibble.com.
Of, yep, we can count. And I call it we can count because it is all about the numbers, and there's numbers all over the place. Some of them you've heard weaved in throughout this show. But let me give you a couple more to really chew on. How about this? A backlog of illegal immigration court cases. They say there's over 1 million. Delayed deportation, 684,000. Wow, those are some fat numbers. So what's going on with that? Well, part of it is because of the fact that you've got not enough judges. You've got old paper systems. You can't have these court proceedings all of a sudden race ahead. It's just a massive, crazy backlog. And the idea is that, I shouldn't say the idea, the problem is that. The problem is these changing from paper to electronic files and hiring more immigration judges to deal with the problems of how many are sitting there waiting. So let me give you an idea. You've got 334 judges around the nation. So you heard what I said. You heard the numbers before that. 334. Congress has authorized a total corps of judges of 484. The president wants 700. The attorney general, Jeff Sessions, is saying hire more judges, streamline the process. But it's this brutal uphill fight. And they can't speed it up fast enough. And the backlog of the deportations, 684,000, I'm going to say it again, 583. So then you say to yourself, wow, and where are we housing everybody? And that's also part of the other problem there. Netflix, Netflix, Netflix. Give me my Netflix, right? Because we do that binge-watching thing. Binge-watching is a verb, right? So Netflix, some entertainers are trashing it, including MGM TV and Digital Group President Mark Burnett. He said at the Milken Institute Global Conference in Beverly Hills, Netflix is less attractive to me. I want to own my IP around the world. I want to own it. So he wasn't the only one. There were some other heads of studios that were saying the same thing. And this was kind of one of those panels of industry big wigs. Tuesday's panel was what's next for film, television, media, and newish platforms. And what are the newish platforms going to look like? And I still say Netflix will play heavily into this, but it's people want their rights. Like you said, Burnett said it right. They want their IP, and that's the thing. So there was a $50 million deal Netflix paid Paramount for a release, a surprise release of the Cloverfield Paradox on Super Bowl Sunday. And that's kind of one of those sort of unique blendings. But I guess that uniqueness is a rarity. All right, I have not seen this yet. You know, we always do our cheap movie reviews. But Avengers Infinity War. So Disney, Marvel's Avengers flick has blasted way past the $700 million global mark with $725 million through Monday. They say it's going to keep falling. $800 million should happen into Wednesday. $1 billion worldwide. So it's a massive hit, and it's not shocking, I don't think. Because if you think of what other flicks have done so well, Man of Steel, Winter Soldier, Captain America, Amazing Spider-Man, all of those fall into that genre. So this is just another step in that direction. They knew that as expensive as it is with the effects, etc., to make it, it's going to more than pay for itself. All right, so we can count, but can we read? 65% of public school eighth graders aren't proficient in reading. 67% are not proficient in math. So where do these numbers come from? That's according to the National Assessment of Educational Progress test results released by the U.S. Department of Education. So the results are far worse for students enrolled in some of the urban areas. I don't think we're shocked by that. Urban districts ranked by percentage of eighth graders proficient in math: Charlotte, 41, Austin, 38, San Diego, 36, Boston, 33%. And then states ranked by percentage of eighth graders proficient in mathematics based on the test: Massachusetts, 50, Minnesota, 46, New Hampshire, 45, New Jersey, 44, and then so on and so forth, and then you go all the way down to the bottom of the base. But, boy, that's proficient, not being proficient in reading. Ooh, when it comes to reading, eighth grade students performing at proficient levels should provide relevant information, summarize main ideas and themes. So I would agree with that. You know, but testing can be funny. Some people don't test well, and then they're off the charts. I mean, that's the deal. All right, let's go to polluted air. 9 out of 10 people are breathing polluted air. That's according to the World Health Organization. This fresh info from the UN health body showed that every corner of the globe is dealing with air pollution, but the problem is far worse in poorer communities. I know that is not shocking to you. PM215 is one of the metrics they use, and it includes toxins like sulfate and black carbon that pose the greatest health risks because they can penetrate deep into the lungs and ultimately cause strokes and cancer and pneumonia, all of that. More than 90% of deaths linked to air pollution happen in lower middle-income countries, mostly in Asia and Africa, is what this study found, this WHO study. And they found that around 7 million people die every year from that exposure to fine particles in polluted air. Whew. That is so sad. You die because of the air. Would you die over a Burger King meal? Ridiculous. I was reading this story from Hanover, Maryland, where police took two suspects into custody. Why? Because they started a fight that included more than 20 people at a mall food court that started with a problem with a Burger King order. It happened at 7 o'clock on a Sunday, and they were screaming. There, one guy was shirtless. The punches were flying wildly, and it ended up that the one was cited for disorderly conduct, while the other was charged with two counts of second-degree assault and disorderly conduct. So the whole thing was just a bad, bad deal. 20 people at a food court. Oh, they have to call in the police as soon as they can. They got to break that up. And they did do a good job of that. And there was bumps and bruises and scrapes, though, all the way around. All right, how about this? This is an interesting one. In Venezuela, 5 years of severance pay now buys a coffee. What? So this is the story. Millions of Venezuelans have seen their salaries decimated by rampant hyperinflation. Venezuela's a mess, and it's expected to drive prices up by 13,000% this year. Holy baloney. There are a lot of people that are struggling. I mean, really struggling, and they're trying to make adjustments. But the adjustments are limited because of the economic crisis that Venezuela is in. So if you look at universities, a study by the country's main universities found that in 2017, 80% of the people were living in poverty. Wow. Despite government statistics claiming the figure stands at 23%. So that is not good. Not good at all. Today, the figure stands at around 60%, but that number's dropped down slightly. It was 70%. So that's dropped a little bit. But either way, not good to have any of that out there. And they've struggled for a while on what to do and what's going to happen moving into the future as they deal with hyperinflation. Ugh, even the word hyperinflation makes me sweat. Hyperinflation is something none of us want. All right, stay with us. Coming up next, Forbes Books at Bedtime and a few other cool interviews that we've weaved into our offerings. Thank you all so much for listening to America Tonight.
Hey folks, Tom D for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, ghosts, zombies, UFOs, crop circles, and more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people who seek a little more than the other dating services offer. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and you want to connect with others, use the code GEORGE for a substantial discount. So many people want to share their experiences with the paranormal, the afterlife, the unusual, and this is the place to meet and share common interests with those of like minds. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com. That's ParanormalDate.com. Use the code word GEORGE and start meeting others. Get going now and connect with someone you like.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-261-9818 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-261-9818. Again, 800-261-9818.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start Program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-301-5435. That's 800-301-5435. 800-301-5435.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow. And like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
At Bedtime with Kate Delaney and Greg Stebbin.
Joining us now on the show is David Knorr. He's the author of Relationship Economics and many other books, tons of other books. Such an interesting background. In fact, Greg, I was looking at some of the brands that he's worked with, brands that I've had the chance to speak to some of these groups, and they're great, like Deloitte, Cisco Systems, Disney, Hilton, HP, IBM, and so much more. So, David, thanks so much for coming on the show. You're the author of Relationship Economics, like we said. And as soon as I say that word, I think, what do you mean by relationship economics?
It's good to be with you, and yeah, it's been a passion of mine for the last 2 decades.
Wow, that's a long time. So what when people hear the term relationship economics, I'm assuming like us, they ask you, what do you mean by that? And if you're at a cocktail sure. party, how do you answer that?
So my crusade, if you will, has been to really help people understand that relationships are more than a quote-unquote the soft skill. For years, we've proven that they can be intentional, they should be strategic, and they can be quantifiable. And in my research, I found really two camps, right? The art of relationships, how to get a business card or give a card or how to quote-unquote work a room, and the traditional networking, which, by the way, I remind people it's one letter away from not working. Right. And then separately, the science of relationships, which is actually called social network analysis. It has nothing to do with Twitter, Facebook, or LinkedIn. It's studying patterns in human interaction. Fascinating, but it puts most people to sleep. So I was.
Yeah, by the way, if you put people to sleep here, we're not going to be very happy.
Understood. So I was fortunate enough to put them together. So I talk about the art and science of relationships. It is more than just a soft skill. It can be a huge enabler of you trying to get things done in business.
So I have a question for you, because anytime a conversation turns towards the idea of networking, I have this suspicion, and it might be exactly what you've been studying for 20 years, but I have this suspicion that some people are networkers purely out of self-interest, and that at the end, that's not very effective. And there are others who are networkers because they have all kinds of motives and interests, including their own, but also the interests of others around them. Is that part of what you're talking about, of being intentional, strategic, and quantifiable?
Very much so. You're exactly right. And unfortunately, I say to folks, a lot of people confuse vibration with forward motion, right? And the first chapter of relationship economics is the top 10 reasons most networking doesn't work. And a big part of that is there's no plan, there's no purpose, there's no goal. So, and Adam Grant at Wharton wrote the book, Givers and Takers, and he talks about the same thing is, we found a couple of different camps, people that are me-centric. Forget you for a second. It's all about me. Yeah. And the only reason I've been talking to you is because I want something. I'm not sure how far that will get you. And then there's other-centric, which is people that are very, they're very euphoric from just giving. They love to give, and God bless them. They're like Mother Teresa. The balanced approach is what I call relationship investors. These are people who understand this idea of relationship currency. Over time, they're really focused on building their reputation capital. And just like how we have a personal net worth, they also understand conceptually the idea of a professional net worth of your relationship assets and your relationship liabilities.
So how do you start becoming a relationship investor? If people are hearing this for the first time, the way that you put it, how do you do that? Because as you know and you describe so well, there's all these networking groups and meetups and whatnot, and I think people throw cards at each other and that's it. They just collect cards even still.
Yeah, let me give you and your listeners just three basic ideas. Number one, relationships don't make sense by themselves, right? Nobody builds a relationship because they're bored, right? It's an enabler of something we're trying to do. So get crystal clear on what's the desired outcome, right? Why are you trying to build these relationships? So having a goal, having a lighthouse that you work toward is critical. And being transparent with that, listen, I'm trying to grow this territory, or I'm trying to launch this product, or I'm trying to get this project done. Being transparent with that just kind of paves the way for people to see you as more authentic.
Why is that transparency so hard for so many people? They think that they have to ask, that they're going to ask for the thing they want, but they'll never actually come out and say what they want, and that just makes people feel skeevy.
Right? I would submit that we all have a BS radar, right? We all see it a mile away, right? And you know, kind of everybody sees it. So if you come out with, hey, listen, here's what I'm trying to do, and I'd love to, so I'm going to get to the other two points quickly, but if you're transparent early on, you kind of disarm people with that authenticity, right? Everybody knows, everybody has the perception that you have an agenda.
It's called being honest.
Right, here's what I'm trying to do. It just, again, disarms people with, this is not a BSer. This is not somebody who's going to try to pull a fast one, right? So number one, be succinct about your desired outcome. What are you trying to do? Number two, listen louder. Listen louder. My favorite one-hour visit with somebody is when 15 minutes of it is about them. And by the way, you want better answers? Ask better questions, right? So tell me what your priorities are. Tell me what your challenges are. Tell me, really put your mindset in that notion of seekers and solvers. What are they trying to do? How can you be an asset? And a relationship investor fundamentally understands, and this is my third point, if you start by giving, if you start by investing, and I talk about reciprocate first, if you start by investing in others, those who get it will not only say thank you, not only ask, that's very kind of you, what can I do to help you, but they'll also find ways to help others. And if they don't, that's when your yellow flag should go up. That's when you should be concerned about, do they fundamentally understand that they're in the people business?
Wow. And so important, right, for companies to be in the people business. And a lot of companies ignore maybe the value of relationship economics, huh?
That's exactly right. And my most recent book, Co-Create, builds on that notion that you cannot succeed in the future going at it alone. None of us are the smartest person in the room. I have a mentor who says, if you are, you're in the wrong room. Right? And how will you evolve as an individual, as a team, as an organization? Through a few, but really more meaningful, more real, more impactful, more strategic relationships who are going to help you think very differently about your business model, about your revenue model, about your personal and professional growth.
We're talking with David Knorr. He's the author of the book Relationship Economics and many other books. His website is knorrgroup.com. It's N-O-U-R-G-R-O-U-P.com. You know, it's interesting, David, as you're talking about this whole idea of, as your book title says, relationship economics, one of the things I'm thinking about is how, on one hand, it seems like technology and social media has changed this economic system, but I have a feeling you're going to tell us it hasn't changed it at all.
Yeah, it technology is, and again, I've been blessed by technology. One of my first jobs at IBM and subsequently Silicon Graphics, and I've worked for a number of software technology companies. I spent most of my early career in tech companies. So technology, I found, is an incredible enabler of you nurturing that relationship. But Greg, it'll never replace, or certainly I haven't found a model where it replaces you and I meeting face to face and shaking hands and looking each other in the eye and really investing the time and effort in getting to know the needs, the wants, the aspirations, the desires of the other person. Now, LinkedIn is a great place for you and I to stay in touch. And you can see my articles. You can see kind of what I'm doing and what I'm focused on. And Twitter is a good way to kind of get updates on things. And Instagram, you can visually see kind of what I'm up to. But it's amazing, even at the enterprise level, how many companies forget relationships in their customer relationship management or their CRM system. So unfortunately, again, when I said earlier, people confuse vibration with forward motion. They're confusing transactional nature of networking and contacts with transformational impacts of relationships.
Yeah. You talk about, when you talk about the Hollywood talent model, what is that?
Yeah, in Co-Create, we did a ton of research, and we found that by 2020, which isn't that far away, over 50% of the workforce are going to be contract laborers. So in essence, the gig economy. And if you think about it a second, back in the 40s and 50s, almost everybody involved with a, you know, movie works for the studio. Well, that's just not the case today. Very few actually work for the studio. The studio, you know, buys a screenplay, hires a producer who then hires a director and on-camera talent all the way off to, you know, the off-camera talent. And they'll work together over a couple of years around a common vision, right? But when that project is done,
it's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original and most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
I tried other brands, but I came back to my Sunshine.
For the best hot or cold pain relief, get the best. Get a Sunny Bay heating pad.
Sometimes life can be a pain in the neck or back or shoulder.
And the best relief for that pain is a Sunny Bay heating pad. Did you know that the American College of Physicians said that one of the best ways to treat muscle pain is heat therapy? Sunny Bay heating pads are handmade with high quality, can be used at home or at work, and have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy.
Why take another pill?
Many people use our Sunny Bay heating pads alone and got rid of the neck pain.
Long distance travel or long hours in front of a computer can take its toll on your body.
See why our homegrown small business at sunny-bay.com has tried to help people just like you. Get your Sunny Bay heating pads at sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com or call 253-678-1361 for hot and cold therapy. sunny-bay.com.
You have been lied to. Generation after generation, time after time after time.
If you follow the money, then you understand why America's in the condition it's in.
Now, you created the Federal Reserve in 1913 through lies. You create 9/11. Through 9/11, you're fighting a war on terror. And now all of a sudden you go into Iraq, which was another lie.
This book will open people's eyes. Pre-order now at KillingUncleSamBook.com. KillingUncleSamBook.com.
It's about time something new came along for better selling and buying online. And I found it.
What now, Marge?
It's buysellmakeoffer.com.
Never heard of it.
It's a brand new company. That's why you've never heard of it. It's the newest and best way to sell any products online. I did all the research.
Sell my car?
Yes.
Our home?
Yep.
My golf bag?
Your golf clubs. All of them.
How about your purse collection hoard?
Hey, now.
You said any product.
Right. I did. We get 30 days free.
Really?
Packages starting from only $9.95. And buysellmakeoffer.com will never charge item fees, ever. Never. And this is cool. Listen to this. You can even use Skype or video to show your items.
That's cool.
Yes. All we have to do is go to the website, sign up, and then load our stuff to sell. I love this site.
Buysellmakeoffer.com.
Buysellmakeoffer.com. You got it?
Buysellmakeoffer.com.
Buy, sell, MakeOffer.com. Better selling, better buying.
Welcome back to America Tonight. Kate Delaney hanging out with all of you. You know that I've been talking about cars for a very, very long time. Still no decisions, but we're close. GM is considering a proposal that we have because I know some of you have written me emails like Bob and Jake and also Bill. Don't worry, we'll keep you up to date on what's happening with my car situation. But off the lot, we have Cash and Cars with us again, and that would be Donovan Cashin, who is our car expert, and it's been too long. We needed to have him on sooner. But he's with me now, and there's a lot of cool things actually to talk about, including something he was telling me off the air. This car, it's the G7
GT.
So you can tell how smart I am with cars. GT 2RS, and I saw a picture of it actually. If you go to Cashin Cars on Instagram, you can see actually a photograph that he took of this car, and it's incredible. It's supposedly in unbelievable.
unbelievably fast. So tell me about why I should care about this car. It's beautiful because I went and I looked on Instagram, but it's the fastest production car. What does that mean?
So pretty much it is the fastest production car around a track called the Nürburgring, which is located in Nuremberg, Germany. It's actually considered toll road there since it's kind of government funded in a way. This car, it's the track version of the Porsche 911, which is a well-known sports car that most of you probably know of. This is the more track-focused version. It went around the 14-mile track in a total of 6 minutes and 47 seconds, averaging speeds over 100 miles an hour, which is crazy.
Wow. So say that again. How many minutes and what was the speed?
It was going 100 miles an hour at 6 minutes and 47 seconds around the 14-mile track.
Wow. So we'll never see that on the street, right? Or we can see it on the street, but if you try to push it at that level, you'll get pulled over in a second.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you'd be pulled over almost instantaneously. It goes 0 to 60 in about 3.2 seconds, which is much faster than any of us normal humans can handle.
Now, the car that you showed me, I mean, they're different colors. How big does color play into, do you think, some of these decisions for high-end buyers? So let's say money is not an object, and I just like fast cars and cool cars, and you're telling us great information about that, Donovan, frankly. And I say to you, listen, I'm not sure what I want, but I like the idea of the fast car, and I kind of like this model. Do you think color plays a part of this? Because I think the car companies think it does.
Surprisingly, color does play a huge part in the car's value overall. Lots of cars out there from multiple different manufacturers, if you have a more rare color or special something, people are more willing to pay more money for that vehicle. Some cars I've heard of premiums like the Ford GT. It had an option called the Heritage Edition, which made it look like the 1964 Le Mans car. The paint option back in the day was about $15,000, which is a lot of money for paint, for goodness sakes. And nowadays, that car is commanding an over $100,000 premium on top of the normal GT, which back in the day cost about $115,000, and now they range from about $200,000 to $300,000. So just imagine $100,000 premium off of that.
Wow. So you photograph cars, and you've been lucky to get into some great places, especially, you know, this show emanates and people know from the Dallas-Fort Worth area, and there are a lot of classic car buyers and people interested in cars. Is Dallas kind of a hotbed for that, do you think?
More than you'd expect. There are lots of supercars and even hypercars in the Dallas area. People have a lot more money than all of us really believe that they spend on cars. A friend of mine is actually getting something called a Bugatti Chiron, which is coming in a couple weeks. The car is worth about $3 million, which is a crazy figure to spend on a car.
Wait a second. $3 million, so that has to be a rarity. How many do you think there are even made that someone would pay that kind of price for a car?
I've only seen one of that type of vehicle. They came out in, I think, 2015. But they it'll be one of three in the country currently, at least. There are two others, and this will be the third one to enter the United States so far.
Wow, that's huge. So if your friend's getting it, that means you'll be able to take a photograph of it, and people listening to us, if they want to see it, if they go to Cash and Cars on Instagram, eventually they'll see that, right?
Correct, yes. I've already photographed one of the Bugatti Chirons in a blue carbon fiber, which is a very beautiful specification for a vehicle like that. But the car, what's interesting about it is it goes 0 to 260 miles an hour, or 400 kilometers an hour, back to zero in a total of 42 seconds.
Wow, 42 seconds, that's amazing. Now, I also understand, and you talked to me off the air about this, that you rode in a McLaren. What does it feel like to be in a McLaren, first of all, and what kind of pickup does it have?
Great question. The McLaren that I got to ride in was the more limited edition version called the 675 Longtail, or LT, abbreviated. It's a rear-wheel drive car, but it feels like it's all-wheel drive. It has an enormous amount of grip from all the downforce and special aero it has. Even the back gate, or not gate per se, but since it's mid-engine, the engine cover is made out of, I believe, plexiglass, so any way they can to save weight, they did. There's not even any stress to hold it up. You have to bring out a little pencil or like a ruler looking thing and prop up the rear hatch.
Wow. So as you were riding in that McLaren, what were you thinking? Because I mean, it has to be just the most comfortable ride, because at that price and the way it looks, because see, I think there's sometimes a disconnect. So for example, and this is a much lower level, when the Hummers first came out, I dated a guy who had a Hummer, and they would talk about it, and he would lend it to me, and he kept saying, do you want to get one? And at first I thought it was really cool, and people thought it was cool. We were in California, and I would drive it around. But you know what? It wasn't that great of a ride. So just because it sort of cost a little more than the average car, let's say, it wasn't necessarily great. I was riding around in a tank. Did you feel like the McLaren lived up to its price tag?
It did in the performance way. In the comfort way, well, I don't know so much so. The seats were custom fit to the owner. Well, custom fit in the way that you could select three different sizes. For instance, you could have the small, the medium, and large size seats. And it was it has a magnetic ride, I believe, so that you can change the suspension settings by a touch of a button to make it either rougher or less rough, depending on what services you're going on. For normal street use, they don't recommend really the race mode, but the owner that I rode in, rode with, at least, does it all the time.
Wow. So, again, that makes sense, because they're going to customize the car. Tesla, so your family has a Tesla, and I'm noticing that more Teslas are starting to pop up, and part of that is adjusting to not getting gas, and, you know, it's an electric car. What's it like for you now? Because you're used to it. You've had the car, your family's had the car for a while, so it's probably old hat for you, but what's it like, or what do you think is the value of having an electric car?
The value really is not having to get gas. It's probably the best feeling ever to just drive by a gas station and not really care about the gas price. For instance, back when, if you guys remember when the gas crisis hit, at least in my area, which is Dallas, we gas stations had large, almost hour waits in some places, and gas was a very hard commodity to find. It was great to be not having to worry about running out of gas, even though my father's car was not so lucky.
I like that. All right, we're here with Donovan Cashin, of course, and I want to remind everyone that as mature as he sounds, and he is our car guru, he is just 14, so I can only imagine what the future holds with the knowledge he already contains. It's just absolutely amazing to see his photographs, too. So I'm going to say it again, because people have asked me, and this is radio, of course, and it's an audio medium, but if you go to Cashin Cars on Instagram, you'll be able to see some of his fabulous photographs. What got you into the photography side of it? Was it the cars first or the photography? Which one came first?
The cars by quite a couple years. I've been in photography for a few years now, but cars since day one, really. As soon as I could roll a little matchbox car in front of my eyes, I knew it was destined to be.
Yet you like cars. And the like of cars, does that go over into, for example, Formula Racing or watching any of that? Because I've covered all forms of racing, so I've been to all those tracks, and I like fast cars, and I like to hear about the cars. But for you, it'd be a little bit deeper than that. Which do you like the best? Are you a NASCAR fan? No. What are you, a Formula Racing fan?
I'm a big fan of Formula One and Lewis Hamilton and all the guys on team AMG Petronas. That's kind of where I went to my first actual F1 race at the Circuit of the Americas, which is down here in Austin, Texas. I believe it was about this time last year. Probably one of the best experiences I've had. It was amazing to see all the cars that I'd seen on TV for years and years before.
Wow. So for you, if you look, I mean, you're 14 and you have plenty of time to think about what you might want to do, but obviously you have this keen interest on cars, but not necessarily being a driver, if you had to take a shot at it, because, you know, we can't help but do that. When from the time we're born, people are asking us, what are you going to do? What do you want to do? Do you want to be a fireman? Do you want to be a lawyer? So where do you see yourself slanting?
I see myself slanting, of course, towards the car, maybe manufacturing, being a dealer rep, or owning my own dealership. I'd love to do that and sell all the nice cars to people that I like, really.
Ah.
In the Dallas area.
All right. Excellent as always, Donovan Cashin. Thank you so much for joining us on America Tonight.
Thank you very much for having me.
Mm-hmm. If you know Kate Delaney, then you know that her lovable golden retriever, Mahalo, makes her world go around. So when Kate started looking for a high-quality dog food for him, she settled on Life's Abundance, the all-stage grain-free food. It's rated 5 stars by Dog Food Advisor, and that's a win. In fact, Kate loved the food so much that she's now repping the food at kateskibble.com. It's full of high-quality protein and nutrients, omega-3s and more. Kateskibble.com is just what Mahalo needs to be happy and healthy. Grab a bag at kateskibble.com.
Healthcare reform is confusing. With the loss of the Obamacare mandate, those needing help can now choose an affordable alternative. By joining Liberty HealthShare, you're part of a community of health-conscious Americans all over the country who control their own healthcare costs and choices. Liberty HealthShare is not insurance. It is an association of self-pay patients who unite with like-minded people to share the cost of their medical needs. Neighbor helping neighbor. Learn more now by going to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.